right, so today we're going to start this new language called JavaScript, which we discussed in broad detail last time. One thing I mentioned was that JavaScript has a lot of functions in it. So to illustrate that, I bought the manual for JavaScript. It's quite thick. Can't hear? Hello. Let's see if it works at all. Can you hear? You can hear that. Just run that through your signal processor, and that's it. Hello. All right. So, we're discussing JavaScript. Everybody should have a copy of the file set in that box over there, so you can follow most of it from there. The only things not on the file set are the examples. If you go to the web version of the file set, the examples for each file are clickable on each file, so you should be able to do that later. And the URL and the file set is pointed to in the home page of the class. So, as is traditional, you start off all lectures on computer languages, telling people how to write "Hello World." I guess that was made, at least for me, was made traditional from the first book on C. Told you how to write "Hello World," and so this particular file here tells you how to write "Hello World" in JavaScript, and also tells you what JavaScript looks like. So we notice that what we have here is almost a traditional HTML page. It has a header, which has a title, it has a body, and it has an end of a, it has actually an ordinary HTML tag here in bold, and then it has five unusual lines here, which are JavaScript. So, however, they're in the same spirit as HTML, namely HTML, everything is defined by a tag and ended by a backslash tag. So, For JavaScript, the tag is the tag script, and the ending thing is a backslash script. Can you still hear me? So we have a choice between grateful echo and hearing me. How about that? Can you hear me? Yes? Okay. All right, so the key differences are these five lines here, of which four are sort of standard. And they're actually described, I think, on the next foil. These four standard lines that tell the browser that this is JavaScript, and they also have some peculiar technology here, which is some mumbo-jumbo to allow browsers that do not understand JavaScript to be happy Because if you ingeniously look at this, you will notice that to an ordinary browser, this stuff here looks like a comment. Because it starts with angle bracket exclamation mark minus minus, which is makes it a comment. So this stuff here is actually not necessary on Netscape. Could shout. Hello. Can you hear? Marginally. Hello. Not coming through. More batteries, don't we? So, you know, there's a standard story of the empire being lost because of the lack of a nail for the horse's tooth. So now you have your knowledge of JavaScript has been lost for the lack of a viable 9-volt battery. Probably. So I'm going to just continue. And hope that you can hear me. Who knows? I mean, but then we would have to find something else when it doesn't work. But all right. Well, while we are waiting for this to be rescued. This is the only line of JavaScript on this page. And this particular line takes the JavaScript object called document, which is defined to be the current HTML page. It is dotted with a method for the object called document, which is write some information followed by a new line. And then the argument is the information. So all this does is write this particular information, which is hello world defined to be an H1 tag, out to the current document. So this stuff here is entirely equivalent to removing these two lines, removing the document.write, and just having hello world there. You found the battery? Because that battery is probably bad as well.
Isn't this thing?
There's got to be a plug. Right now, try. Hello? Okay, well, you. I think we have a new battery here. Let's just see. Is it much better? All right. All right. Can you now hear me? Well, at least you should be able to write hello world. You've been staring at it now for 10 minutes. for some reason I missed this page. All right. So, as I mentioned, there's only one real instruction, document.write, which has an argument called text string, and the general syntax of all JavaScript is these four magic lines which you just cut and paste from one document to another, and you stick whatever JavaScript you want in the middle. And the Java, so what the browser does is the browser's reading the HTML document. So when it sees an image tag, it downloads an image. When it sees a H1 tag, it makes it a large font which is bold. And when it sees a JavaScript tag, it takes the code and hands it to a computer program which interprets what's in that code, which it then executes those instructions. So it runs the computer program, let's try your other one. It's possible that this was a bad battery. Sure, this battery doesn't work at all.
No.
It's supposed to be new. And how can this? I think there's something defective with this device, because it's not even getting this right. It's meant to be on, isn't it, or not? Alright. Put it down. Turn the volume down a bit. Can you hear this? Right. Okay. So, so the syntax of JavaScript is very straightforward. I was describing what happened to the browser. So the browser is reading what you put there. And the rule is it just reads the lines of the JavaScript. It will do arithmetic. If it sees there are various commands that it can do which alter the document, such as writing HTML into the document, those are just interpreted by the browser as though they were downloaded from the server. So, there's meant to be some examples here. So this, can anybody see this? Not really, is that right? Well, this one, let's look at this one, which is more interesting. So when you come to this example, which is available on the home page, I'll just tell you what this is doing. Alright, so this is telling you the types of things you can do. If you could read it, it says this text is bold, which is a string. There's a document.writeln at the beginning, which I've just scrolled through, and then there is a method. This is an example of a string, an object of type string in JavaScript, and that has a method called bold, which is similar to the types of things you see in Java, which converts it to bold. There's a method called italics, a method called strike, and so on. There's a method called font color, which changes the color. And so this has the feature that you can then use these methods attached to strings to be able to change the style of the text, which appears over here, saying this text is bold, etc. You can do subscripts and superscripts and things like that. So that says that there are strings in this language which you can manipulate. Now, all these examples are seemingly trivial because they have text. They become non-trivial when we have variables which are set equal to those strings, because then we can manipulate those variables, concatenate them, and produce them, and then we can do these interesting things with them, like change their color, etc. So there are similar types of approaches to changing relative and absolute sizes, which are using the font size method. So this is an example you will find often on the web, which is setting the background color. So the way you set that, this is a little more less trivial in JavaScript. And this actually illustrates quite a few. Yeah, I think all we need is here. So what this says here, that this is an input tag, which is an HTML tag. The type is a button, so this is an ordinary thing you get in an ordinary form. And it has this command called onClick. So all these tags in HTML have attributes. So a typical attribute is a source, which is where you get, say, an image from, the URL for an image, or a width, which is the size of an image. Here we have a new tag, which is very useful, called onClick. And onClick is what you expect. It says, this is the attribute which tells you what to do when you click on the button. So here we have a button, this one. And what it says is, please call, the onClick attribute is assumed to be followed by a JavaScript command. And this JavaScript command just says set background. Then if we scroll up to this page, we will find a piece of code, if we can locate it, called function set background. And it's looking, so we first of all set a variable called isWhite to be true. Then in the function, which is, this is right at the beginning of the HTML. So as it's loading it, as it's loading this stuff, Netscape sees the script command, so it says this is JavaScript. It then reads this stuff here back to down to the end of the script, and you can see what, if you could see, you would notice what, this stuff here has no write commands. So this is just sticking this stuff into the Netscape browser for it to use later on. So it's defining inside the browser a variable called isWhite. And then when we do the onClick equals set background, onClick looks at this variable called isWhite. And then if isWhite is true, which says the current color is white, it says document.bgColor equals pink. And it set isWhite to be false. And then here we have an else command, which is execute if isWhite is false. And then we set document.bgColor equals white. So this is a very simple piece of computer program which has this, which basically toggles the variable isWhite and correspondingly changes the background color of the page here between white and pink. So this illustrates several things. It illustrates on-click. It illustrates that you can have here the value of not having just document.write, because here this is not being done at all with any document.write. It's being done by changing the actual objects defining the document. So if you read this thing here, probably a third of this manual is describing the endless objects that describe a document. If you think about forms, applets, links, images, etc., there are an awful lot of properties of those which are necessary to know to define what a document is. And so one of the properties of a document is the background color, which is called BG color, and so document.bg color is the background color of the current document. There's a slight subtlety here in that we have so-called two frames, and the JavaScript in this frame is affecting the JavaScript in that frame. We haven't actually formally described frames yet, but that's not terribly important because we can... This is the source of what's running in that frame. So this is just meant to illustrate what's controlling that frame. Now there's only one special feature of this example. In the BG color is one of the few HTML attributes that are executed immediately. Most attributes are not executed immediately. Then it loads the page. If you change a particular property of the HTML page, it will not show up because it gets stored away. And what you have to do to make it show up is to reload the page. There is actually a reload function in JavaScript which allows you to do that. It just happens that BG color has the feature that it instantaneously sampled. It just must be the way Netscape is built. But almost every other color, like every other thing, like font sizes and stuff, if you change the font size, which you can with a similar type of technology, to see that change in font size, you'd have to do, technically you'd have to execute something here called window.reload. The window defining this frame here has a function associated with it called reload, which is equivalent to pressing the reload button on the Netscape menu. So there's something in JavaScript that corresponds to every single attribute, every single button, and they're all here. You just have to, and there's no, a few people in web development companies know all this stuff by heart, but most people, I think, just look it up because it's sort of straightforward stuff, which is, you certainly don't need to learn. So this is a similar example from Stanford, and it has, instead of the, remember we had this, in that previous one we only allowed two colors for the background. Here, they've carefully made up a set of radio buttons allowing you to set any color. So when you click on the radio button for coral, up comes coral up there for the background of this particular frame. And there's dark gray and so on. And whatever your favorite color is. And so this type of page, which there's actually several examples of, are quite useful for getting previews. These are sort of design your page to make it look prettier. So you can, so here we were changing the background color. If we did this, we changed the text color. And we would notice that a pale green background followed by a papaya whip text color doesn't make it terribly visible. And so we would presumably change it to some other color which would be more visible. And then presumably if you go to VBA or IST or somehow, they would tell you about aesthetics, about whether green and red looks good, and you would then be able to find out what's good. Computer science, as far as I know, doesn't study aesthetics, so I do not know whether that's a good color coordination. Anyway, this anyway, so that's the type of thing you can do. So this particular example here is actually similar to the one we just did with that is white example. Namely, here we have a typical on click. So here you have an HTML page, because it starts with the HTML tag and ends with the backslash HTML tag. You have a JavaScript function called compute, and you have a form here which has some text and a button, and then that button has an onClick command which calls the function compute. Now, if you look at this JavaScript here, it actually has some quite interesting features. The most important is this thing here called form.result.value and form.expr.value. So what does that mean? So form is the argument of compute, which is the current form we're in. Result is the name of this text field here, called input type equals text, name equals result, and value is the value of that text field. So what this says is, take this form, go to the text field called result, set the value, and what do you set it equal to? Well, you set it equal to whatever you get by eval, which does it just does a JavaScript interpretation of whatever is its argument of. You just calculate whatever was in this form.expr.value, when expr is the name of the form up here where you're meant to enter some information. So this does sort of calculations. So if you look at the next page, so if you execute this page, this is the text field expr where I place 9 plus 5. Do it with the button which has the on click. And result is gotten by applying eval to 9 plus 5, which is, of course, 14. So this shows that JavaScript can do arithmetic, and that this arithmetic is client-side. There is one couple of features here I wanted to point out, which are rather common. The first feature here is that this function, if you look at it, appears in the header. You know, as I think I mentioned last time, HTML pages have a header and a body. Typically, the header is often, in fact, ignored because it's actually optional. The only thing you usually ever specify in a header is a title. But with JavaScript, it becomes very convenient to put sort of general purpose JavaScript, which are a bunch of functions that you want to call. You always put those in the header. The reason being is that the header, and it's not surprising, the header is processed first by the browser. And so if you want your function to be around and you don't, and it's not doing a write command, then much the best place to put it is in the header of your page, because you know that it's going to be read in. Otherwise, for instance, if you had this command